It is seconds before 9:30 on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org and on your mobile using the TuneIn app. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here to welcome you to Food Talk, and I am here with my ever fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Marianne. I got my apron on.
You have a special apron on.
It's a magic apron.
It's not your average apron.
No, my friend Mike about a year ago got this idea that he thought a way better name for our radio show would be Cooking on the Coast. And so somehow he had an apron made for me that says Food Talk, and then underneath it says Cooking on the Coast. Because I said, you know, you can't just change the name of your radio show, you know, you just
randomly.
You just can't do that. I mean, we could, but then where would the seven of you find us?
Exactly. And how confused would we be?
I know.
It's a very fine apron, and it's like we have a subtext.
No. I know. I just love it. I think it's just great. It makes me very happy. And it's the only happiness you're going to find out of me today because, dear listeners, I am cutting back on caffeine. Yes. Yes, this should be an interesting show.
You had to start today. Couldn't you have waited?
Oh, no. It's been a couple days, so I know what it does to me.
Oh, dear.
In fact, so we got into to the booth here a little bit before the show started. Marianne looked at me, and I think, like, subconsciously, she knew something was wrong because there's four lights in here and she turned two of them off.
I don't know about you, but I felt like I needed to confess something with all those lights on.
But all those lights are normally on. I just think that you're really intuitive. Anyway.
I don't want to be the one that tips you over the edge.
Don't cross me.
I'm staying well on this side of the
desk.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, before we start talking about cooking, I'm so excited because you walked in the building this morning with a watermelon under your arm, a cold watermelon, chilled, and it has seeds.
Isn't that something?
I am so excited, and now I can no longer use that as an excuse to rant on my food column that I write once a month because I'm chronically angry about seedless watermelon.
I know. I have vanilla. You have seedless watermelon. And all the watermelon are seedless. I was so shocked to see it because it was in a local store and they have, you know, those big cardboard bins that they put watermelon in, and it was watermelon, 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 yellow watermelon, 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 seeded watermelon. It's no longer called watermelon. It's called seeded watermelon.
Well, because it's rare.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I said, let's cut this on air. And you wisely said, no, too big a mess. And we're not allowed to have food in the air room, but still.
I mean, really, if you can't have like a muffin, can you have like an 8-pound watermelon? Oh my gosh.
And a butcher knife.
I know. The only thing like messier would be to butcher an actual animal. I just can't think of why they would have that rule.
No. Yeah, really. Anyway, I'm so excited to know that they once again exist in our corner of the world going into summer. So a whole summer of watermelon with seeds. Yay. Thank you. That was a hugely fabulous. That's right up there with, you know, jewelry.
Oh,
as a fabulous gift.
Oh, what is that? A 1,560,000 carat watermelon. Woohoo! That makes it sound better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does sound better. So what have you been cooking? I know that you're recently back from a trip, so maybe you haven't started firing up the stove yet.
You know, a little bit, but I had kind of an interesting experience. I went and saw my mom in Minnesota, and normally I would cook a lot and fill her freezer with stuff, you know, but as people get in their 80s and their 90s, you know, their tastes change, and nothing tastes good to her but egg salad. And so I did something I haven't done before. I just went to the store, and they have a couple of really nice, you know, like fancy grocery stores there where you can get salads that are as good as you would make, you know, like really good wild rice salad and just interesting things that were really good. And I just bought a bunch of salads, and then I really didn't do hardly any cooking at all. And I spent the whole time just talking to her, helping with errands, trying to just organize the house, stuff like that. And so it was really nice. And I understand why people don't like to cook now, because that's not anything I would ever do. I would never buy, you know, more than a week's worth of food and not cook anything at my own house. I just wouldn't. And boy, had a lot of time.
Yeah. That, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the thing. Although, if I have a lot of time, I like to spend it cooking.
Yeah, I do too. It's my hobby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but it is pretty sweet to take a break once in a while.
It was really easy. Do you have anything that you really like to eat that you don't like to cook? Do you know what I mean? Like you're like, for me, it's teriyaki noodles. I love teriyaki noodles, but I don't know why. I just never want to make them. And I'm happy when I have them in the fridge. But the process of making them, I have no idea why. There's other things that I stir fry that I don't dread. I think it's maybe because the thing is so timed, like, so you don't burn the noodles, but you want to get them browned in, and you have to pay attention. I usually want to wander off.
But at least mentally.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have anything like that?
I do. I have a couple things. Do you have a wok?
Yeah.
I have to ask this question quick before I forget.
Yeah.
Because that made me think of that. And do you think that for stir fry, a wok is really essential?
Well, I think you can stir fry in anything. But I think that a wok, when you can get really high heat, that it for years I cooked in a Chinese restaurant, so I think that really high heat is really important to Chinese cooking. So especially fried rice, especially everything, because if you can just throw thin pieces of meat in there and have, you know, just char in 30 seconds, it's just so much better, and the rice is so much better if you have high heat and everything, high heat and cook in small batches. So having said that, I live in the boonies, so we don't even have natural gas out there. We can't get it. So I have an outside wok that I put on a crab burner. So that thing throws, and this is a real number, not one I'm making up, like it does a million, 65,000 BTUs. And so it is hot. And the first time Dale and I fired it up, we fired it up because, yeah, you want it hot, you turn all the way up. That's what you always do with a wok. And we toss some oil in there, and then there's just, boom, this column of flame straight up in the air, because it turns out that 65,000 BTUs is a little too hot, and that's why it sounded like a jet engine. but yeah, I think a wok is really important.
Okay, and then what kind of oil are you using?
So I made the noodles in the morning because I'm like, I have to make them before I go to the radio show because I have to get something done. But I would normally use peanut oil, but then lately, because I'll make a decent amount at a time, and I have friends that are allergic to nuts, like in the real, you know, one molecule of nut way, and I've been kind of shying away from peanut oil because I'm worried when I have them over that there's going to be residual oil in the wok, because you just wipe it out and rinse it with water. You don't use soap. You don't want to unseason it. So I've been pretty careful. So, but that's the reason, just because I'm, my poor friend Lorna. Lorna's allergic to nuts. And I mean, I've tried to kill her so many times. I think I've mentioned this before, twice. I've called her like from Costco to say that, you know, walnuts were on sale or something, or almond flour was the other time. And she's like, what is wrong with you? And so I just want to be careful ahead of time so that I don't space it later and kill somebody that I happen to really like.
Yeah, that's ideal.
Yeah.
I've sort of gotten a little crush on grapeseed oil because it's really a high temp oil.
Yes.
And it doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Anyway, so that's really good
idea
to know. I have not had exceedingly good luck with stir fry, and I don't have a wok.
Okay.
But I also have an electric stove, as do you.
Yeah.
And I remember in the old days when I had a wok that I would have to like wrap the ring in aluminum foil and, you know, just to all amp up the potential of an electric burner.
Okay.
But I don't have really good luck stir frying in just a saute pan.
And I think it's just that you can't get it hot enough on
that's
an electric
what I think
stove
too. It gets you don't get that crisp stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the crisp cooked.
Yeah, and it can still be good.
It is. Yeah. And I'm doing a whole lot of veg right now because it's summer and I have a CSA share. So I have this I have a mission every week to burn through a box of vegetables before the next one comes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, stir fry is a great way at the end to clean out the veggie drawer and get ready for the next box. But I would like to be able to do the really good, and that's one of the things mm-hmm. that I would rather not cook because it doesn't ever come out the way I want it to.
Mm-hmm.
But and I persist, but they come out more steamed than stir fried, I think.
You know, I should maybe I'll take 30 seconds to talk about fried rice. If you want to make good fried rice, the key is to make rice, white rice, long grain rice, the day ahead and get it cold. You get it cold, and I'll just put it in the fridge, like open air, and then it gets kind of dried too. Mm-hmm. And then you break up the clumps, and it's a little dehydrated, which is what you need for it to stir fry well. And so whatever you want, you know, get the wok hot, put a bunch of vegetables in there. You know, you usually do them in order of, like, onions take a lot longer than pea pods do, that kind of thing. And then put the rice in, and with some oil, it takes a decent amount of oil, and have the wok blazing hot, and then you'll just get that crispy brown thing that's so good in fried rice. Don't put a ton of rice in there. All Chinese cooking, do it in small batches, just so everything has contact with the wok. But that's the key, is to use day old cold rice.
And do you put eggs in your
I do, but I don't do it the right way. I do it at the very end. So usually in traditional Chinese cooking, you would do the egg first.
Mm-hmm.
And but I like it kind of mixed in, and so I just get the rice how I want it, and then I toss an egg in there, and 15 seconds later it's done. And that's how I do it. I don't really know why, it's just how I do it. I think because in a less than ideal situation of me cooking outside in the rain, sometimes the egg sticks, and I just don't want to mess up the wok the very first thing.
Uh-huh.
Because you know what? There's a lot of things in the media now about Anthony Bourdain, because he just died. And one thing he said that I like is, he's like, don't cook an egg in anything but a nonstick pan. You're not a rock star. Why are you trying to cook it in something else? Just cook it in a nonstick pan. They were made for eggs. And that's it. A wok is not a nonstick pan. And so I think that's a reason that I do it at the end, just so I don't mess up the wok accidentally right away.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
I used to have a thing about nonstick pans when it was Teflon.
Mm-hmm.
I really did not like them.
Yeah.
But now that they're ceramic.
Yeah.
They're fabulous.
Yeah.
Really fabulous. And in fact, I use them for almost everything.
Yeah, they're really wonderful.
Yeah, they're great.
Unless you scrub the bejesus out of them.
No, you can't.
Dale.
put that scrapey thing down.
We've got our graveyard of very clean ceramic pans.
formerly ceramic pans. Oh my gosh!
Speaking of poor Dale, so I went away. So I went to Minnesota to visit my mom, and I made this sign before I left, and I stuck it up on the cupboard. And the first sign says, "Oh my God, there's nothing to eat." And then I put all the things that there were to eat in the list underneath. And then the second sign, you know, with the Sharpie, I wrote, "Oh my God, I can't find it." And so then I put a long list of where everything was, because we have, like, you know, two or three fridges. Anyway, so then every text he sent me for, like, the first half of the trip started with, "Oh my God." And I thought that was so funny. "Oh my God, there's nothing to eat."
Oh, he is so, poor Dale is
poor
lucky.
Poor Dale.
Lucky that you leave him set up with food.
Yeah, he said it was like being at a restaurant. I thought that was cute. Oh, I have a menu.
It's kind of like, you know, the, what do you call those old-fashioned things in New York where you put the money in the little, and open the little door?
Oh, I know. I don't even know what those are called, but I know
it ends in mat.
But, it's like Dino-mat or something, but that's not it.
Yeah, no, I can't remember, but I love those. I love seeing those in movies. It's not like I ever actually got to use one, but I like the whole idea. So I'm going to take a real quick minute to remind everybody that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, and that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web, which, by the way, at North Coast Food Web, we just finished our second week of Young Chef's Camp for this year. We have three more coming up.
It's so fun seeing those kids in there, but man, that's got to wear you out.
Well, it's exhausting, but it is hilarious and lovely.
Rewarding, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I everything about it is really good, except for, you know, how old I am. But but I'm just a witness to it. The fabulous Wendy D'Agostino is in charge of it, and designs each week and is the primary instructor. And this week, Linda, I'm so sorry that you were out of town, but maybe you'll be here for the next one because we have another baking week coming
really?
Up. So it was baking. We baked.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
What did they make?
Well, they made everything from pizza dough to actual bread,
okay.
loaves of bread. I should be remembering all this stuff right offhand. Oh, we did baked savory things also, like okay. potatoes per salad.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
So fun, sir.
I know. So anyway, they had a wonderful time, and it is very exciting to see 10 to 14-year-olds mm-hmm. be enthusiastic about cooking because mm-hmm. cooking is such a challenge for so many adults mm-hmm. who are either daunted by it or too tired to do it or disinterested in mm-hmm. it. And to see kids get excited about it and then go home and cook for their families gives me hope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier wok rings, and then you mentioned pizza dough, and that made me think of pizza on the grill.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that I cook a lot. In fact, that's what we're having for dinner tonight, Dale. And my method is to turn the grill up because I want it to be the most like a wood-fired grill that I can get it. So you could cook it on the grill and it would be fine. But to do that, I found that if I put my pizza pan, and by pizza pan, I mean those aluminum pans that have the little holes in them, you know, that are round.
Yeah.
And there's a couple kinds, like I've seen them with bigger holes, and the pizza almost burns in those. It's just the smaller hole ones, not the ones that are, you know, about half the size of an okay sign with your fingers, but the ones that are smaller. So what I do is I will spray that with a little oil spray, and then I prepare my dough, and I put that on there, and I get my pizza all ready, and then I have my grill preheated for like 10 minutes as high as it'll go, and then I use a wok ring. I put a wok ring, and I may have talked about this before, but this is the time of year for it. I put a wok ring right in the middle of the grill, and then I put my pizza pan on there. And for some reason, if the pizza pan is right on the grill, the pizza will burn. But if it's up in the air like that, it doesn't. And the top gets done at the same time that the bottom does. And it takes about not that long, 6 minutes. You know?
And you're closing the lid, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. 6 minutes, lid closed. At 3 minutes, I pick it up and I twirl the pizza around because the back of my grill is a lot hotter than the front of my grill. And then then it's done. And I use oven gloves. It's very hot. I mean, my old grill got up to like 800 degrees. And so I use an oven glove plus a couple of mitts because I think, protect yourself. And you have to have a place ready to land the pizza because it's so hot. You can't just like put it on a table or something. And so like a wood peel to have for the pan and a wood peel for the pizza. And you have to get the pizza off the pan right away because every 30 seconds makes the pizza darker because it's cooking so fast and that pan is hot. And so you just have to get it off onto a peel right away and then get the hot pan onto something that's not going to be wrecked. But it's really good. It's a really, really good way to make pizza. And then I almost always, I love arugula on pizza, toss a bunch of arugula on it. But anyway, that's something that I'm planning to do today. Kind of excited about that.
Yeah, that's really great. I like brushing the crust after it comes out with the edge crust with a little olive oil and sprinkling it with some salt.
Really? That's a really good idea.
I've never done that as a finish.
Okay.
But I love grilled pizza. I think it's completely impossible to make as good a pizza in an oven as it is grilled.
Yeah.
It's just better. It's just...
Well, and then I've tried. And so like getting the pizza stone and heating it up. But I think it's dangerous. Every pizza stone I've ever had is cracked in the oven, you know. And what if it explodes? I don't know. Is that possible? I mean,
I don't know.
Who knows? But
there would be real shrapnel if it did.
Yeah, and it'd be boiling, blazing hot shrapnel. So I just feel safer also cooking it outside than trying to, you know, push my oven to its limits.
Yeah. Yeah, and my oven, even pushed to its limits, is not really hot enough for things like that.
Mm-mm.
It just isn't. It says on the dial it goes that high, but it's lying to me. It just doesn't. So, yeah. And also, it's summer. Who wants to have your oven at 500 degrees in the middle of the summer? It's not the middle of the summer, is it? No, not yet.
The beginning, though, yay!
I know.
Oh, there was the most interesting light on the way here today. I've never seen anything like it. So I looked at this field, and the trees were all really pale but bright. I didn't understand. And I looked up in the sky, and there were these dark clouds. Like, everywhere you look, 360 degrees all the way around, there were dark clouds. Like, not threatening like black clouds, but like medium gray clouds, clouds that were doing their job, you know what I mean? But then up in the sky, up top, it was totally clear, and the sun was up there and shining through. So it wasn't that light was coming through. The sun was right up there. So it was like there was this giant donut of clouds over Astoria, and then the sun up above. It was really, really pretty. It was just so unusual. Don't even know why I mentioned it. This is a cooking show. Sorry.
It was a climate update. You know, we're talking about cooking outside.
You said summer.
I know. And you went to beautiful light, and I immediately went to, you know, cherries. Because they're not that far away.
No, they're here.
I know they're here, but I'm sorry, they're not quite ready.
No, they're good.
Where? Roadside stands?
Yeah, roadside stand. Okay. Out on 101. I really like them. The Rainiers are my favorite, and they're good.
Okay.
So maybe they can be better, but
Rainier season, man,
90% is good enough for me.
Okay. I had some a week or so ago, and they weren't that
good. Okay. That's a long time, berry-wise.
I know. That's true. Yeah. It is. Okay, so we got to get busy and get cherries now.
Yeah, I already did the berry thing. I already got my big truckload of berries, and we cleaned them.
You said you were going to Sovie Island.
No, we go to the farm in the valley in, North Plains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so did you come home with tons of blackberries?
Yeah, and we got them all cleaned and all in the freezers, and so that's great for the jam for the bake sale.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I settled for two flats of strawberries in the freezer, and then I was like, wait a minute. Two of us live here. What am I doing? That'll be plenty.
Oh, yeah. But then you can make freezer jam throughout the year.
I'm going to. That's usually what I do with them.
It's so good.
I'm not making a pie for two people. We'll eat it.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Make a little one.
Yeah. I think I might be almost through with pie. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You brought me this beautiful seeded watermelon, and it makes me want to do this melon salsa that I love. But if the melons are not dead ripe, there's no point in making it. But
I remember once you and I were going to make it, and you cut into that melon, and seriously, it was a seedless one because that's all you could get. And every swear word flew out of your mouth. It was just really something. You were like, what did we make it out of then? Mangoes, I think, right?
We substituted mangoes, and it was really good with fresh mint, and it's not a cilantro based salsa, but it is.
How do you make it?
It's with jalapenos. Actually, the original recipe called for half watermelon and half cantaloupe.
Oh, really?
And it's really good if they're both ripe, but you could do it with all of either one, and then fresh mint and however many minced jalapenos you like, and some lemon juice. And it's just a lovely salsa. Even with mango, it was really delicious. Yeah.
So lemon juice, mint, cantaloupe. And
watermelon
and
jalapenos.
Jalapenos, that's what I forgot. Do you use salt or pepper or anything? Any spices?
You use a little bit of salt, and the jalapenos are really the only spice. Yeah.
Well, they're a good flavor.
Yeah, they're great. But it's time for melon, so we could do melon. I can do melon salsa. Again, I'm just mentally adding it to the menu of a luncheon I have to fix the end of the month.
Well, I think I'll go home. I have mint. I planted more mint in the yard and who does this? Killed my mint. How is that even possible? I know. So I had to plant more mint this year, but it's doing good. So I'll go home and make some. I've got a lemon.
I don't think that recipe is up on the website. I'll see if I can get it up there for everybody, because I may be forgetting, you know, like some critical thing. But it's pretty easy to do. It's all chopping, no cooking.
Okay. And, are there any onions in it?
I can't remember.
No, I don't
we
think
made
so.
It together.
Yeah.
I don't think so, no.
My brain's full though. If I want to put something new in there, I gotta decide what
you gotta
to jettison.
Yeah. So
like third grade.
All of junior high.
All of junior high for a salsa recipe.
Fair trade. Total fair trade. Frankly, I am so impressed with anybody who can write a memoir, because it implies that they remember something.
I know.
I can't remember what I cooked last night.
Oh,
I think I cooked a cheeseburger at Buinoy.
Yeah, first my socks, then my shoes. I cooked a cheeseburger at Buinoy.
I have been cooking, and I said last night, yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah.
So we just went down the street.
Nice.
Anyway, I have been cooking a lot of veg, cooked some really good rockfish lately from the fabulous Amanda Gladix, left a rockfish fillet for me at the Food Web.
Nice.
And it was delicious, and I just... I had some crackers left over, and I just rolled them into cracker crumbs and dredged it in egg wash and cracker crumbs and fried it pretty fast in half butter, half olive oil. It was
yummy.
That
sounds really good. Yeah. I would love to have a good cracker recipe. You know how I was whining that one day about devil's food cake? I don't have a good devil's food cake recipe. I would love to have a good cracker recipe, and I've tried so many cracker recipes, and they're all mediocre.
Are you thinking like... any kind of cracker or like just a soda cracker kind of?
It could be soda. It could be any kind of cracker. Just something that's delicious. But they all turn out kind of like just partial pie crust or something. They're just, I've had different times in my life where I'm like, I'm going to find it now. And then I just get too frustrated after, you know, 8 different recipes and then I quit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should try again.
I recently had some oysters on the half shell at a local food establishment, and they come with just some soda crackers on, and I forgot how fabulously wonderful soda crackers are.
Yeah, you know what my grandma used to do? She would take soda crackers, put them in tinfoil, put them in the oven and heat them up, and they would get even crisper. And that was her like special thing, you know, for that kind of cracker. And she did the same thing with oyster crackers when she was going to put them on soup. But it's a little tiny thing, but it makes a difference. It makes them even better.
Oh yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, yeah.
My grandmother used to take soda crackers and put chocolate frosting on.
What?
Make sandwich cookies out of them with leftover frosting when she was making a cake. And I got to tell you, we eat salted chocolate all the time
now.
Yeah,
I bet it's good.
It's a thing.
Okay.
And it was a thing in the 50s.
I
was eating them at my grandmother's kitchen. It was just a way that she would, you know, scrape out the frosting bowl and put it on and make little sandwich crackers for us. But I realized that I never have plain old soda crackers in the house. The only reason I have crackers in the house is because somebody's coming over and I need a cheese plate really quick. And so I buy fancy crackers.
Mm-hmm.
But soda crackers, is really hard to beat them.
Yeah. I don't buy them because they come in those super tight packages and the corner always goes through, and then they're weepy or they're wimpy. You know, they aren't crisp anymore. And the packaging for me for soda crackers is very frustrating. Because they got those pointy little corners, and they go right through, and then they're no good. So that's why I don't buy them.
Well, I see a letter to the editor.
That's the lack of caffeine talking. Hey, I have something in my kitchen that I really like.
What?
So Dale, not poor Dale, awesome Dale, years ago replaced a lot of my lower counter shelves with those pull-out things, you know?
Oh, yeah, they're so
and
nice.
Anyway, that was really, really awesome. But in just one of them, what I have is all of my foil and... what do you call that?
Their plastic wrap.
Yeah. And so I just have them lined up 1, 2, 3 in a row so I can just pull that shelf out and pull off what I need. It's really, really convenient. And now I'm using the size that is like the size that you buy at the restaurant supply store, because then it's heavy enough that it'll stay on the shelf when I pull it. But in the last couple of years, the kind that you buy in the store and the kind that you get in the big roll is, it's instead of being like 200 square feet, the store roll, the restaurant one is like 3,000, but it's 12 inches wide, and I bought an 18 inch wide one too. And so it's more money. It's more than twice the money for the same square feet, which seems, you know, like would make you not want to buy it. But it's so nice to have that wide one just to be able to put one piece over a cake pan and have it cover the whole thing very well. And it's just, it's a luxury. But it's really nice to be able to pull that thing out and just pull off what I need, and I don't have to wrestle around in a drawer, or for a while I had them, you know, hanging on the back of a door to the basement, you know, stuff like that. It's really nice. That's something I have that I like.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like the, I always buy the, I go to the wholesale restaurant supply locally and get the big boxes of plastic wrap, and My husband made a base, a wooden base for that box. So it sits on the counter, but it doesn't scoot anywhere.
Oh, right on.
It's very nice.
Oh, you have counter space. Oh, that's so cute.
I do. I do. The local independent contractor who built our house went, you know, you really don't need this much counter space. And I went, uh-huh, I do. Obviously, you don't cook. Anyway, it's 10 o'clock, Linda Perkins.
Aww.
What the heck? I'm saying your name a couple times during every show now so that people will understand, because you've been given so many names lately.
I know. You can call me Generous Half Cup.
That's right. Oh, that is your new name.
My new nickname.
Forgot. Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you. I am so glad that you're back in town.
Thank you. We missed
you. And we're happy that your mom is doing better and you're able to come home now. So good.